CinemaVino is brought to you by Audible.
Yeah, they didn't ask me to read the first ad because apparently I'm extremely inappropriate. Well, I think Sean and Todd are a couple idiots.
Well, thank you, Travis.
I'm the perfect guy to read this copy because I love Audible. I listen to all of the Lord of the Rings books, and I'm currently listening to Once and Future King. I love it.
And you didn't use any profanity there. I'm very proud of you.
Go blink yourself, Todd. With Audible, you get that plus thousands of audiobooks and podcasts across a ton of genres.
With an Audible membership, you gain access to all the titles you want, plus keep one title per month for yourself. Download the Audible app, and you can listen at home, driving in the car, or just about anywhere.
Todd, you're horrible at this. Let me take it from here. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to enjoy all the perks of membership, plus receive a free title just for signing up. Visit www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino to start today. That's www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino.
And welcome back to CinemaVino.
Oi.
Ahoy.
Yeah.
Ahoy, hoy.
We got our next installment of our Bond series, part two. Of yep. Five.
Yeah, the next Bond. We skipped George Lazenby.
Yes.
Well,
as we do.
Right for now. So.
And we might do a mini pod over George Lazenby because it's interesting. He's a curiosity, you know?
You can't not, you know?
He's a one off, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is an important film.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not that important of a Bond.
I mean, you talk about the Bond mythology. There's a lot of it in that movie.
That is true.
Yeah. And a lot of people think that if Connery had been in that movie, it would have been the best of the series.
Ooh.
With a better actor.
Yeah.
So
why did Connery skip that movie?
Because he got sick of it.
Yeah.
He just took a break for a bit, right?
He
was just like,
he'd already done six?
He said he was done.
And then he said, fuck it, I'm back.
How many had he done before then?
Five.
And then he came back and did Never Say Never Again.
He came back to Diamonds Forever.
Diamonds Forever.
And then Never Say Never Again.
Yeah.
Which isn't technically,
no.
But is just basically a redo of Thunderball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically,
seven is really.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't consider them canon, but seven films.
What was Connery's last movie predating the one we're about to pot on?
The last one, he did the unofficial Never Say Never Again. The last one before that was Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay.
So they came back and the studio was like, we got to get Connery back after watching George Lazenby. We got to get him back no matter what. So they gave him, I think it was $1.2 million and then 10% of the gross, which was unprecedented for an actor at that point to get that much.
Woo.
So he said, all right.
What can do?
Is there anything in today's CinemaScape that would be comparable to them recasting Bond?
Vin Diesel.
In that era?
Fast and the Furious.
They didn't recast.
No, they didn't recast. Yeah,
okay. They just replaced him with a different character.
I mean, they're recasting the Witcher guy, right?
Yeah, but not.
Yeah, it's not the
but
same.
But not a name.
It's not the same.
The biggest recasting, I think, in almost movie history was when they rebooted Star Trek and recast Kirk and Spock and McCoy.
Oh.
Those characters.
I was going to say when they rebooted the Bourne, not rebooted, but when they did a Bourne sequel with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, it's the Bourne legacy.
Yeah.
I was also, like, to a lesser extent, Ron Perlman, and they tried to get the new, the guy from, as Hellboy.
David Harbour.
David Harbour in Stranger Things. Where that Hellboy did not go anywhere, and they still have not finished Guillermo del Toro's original trilogy.
Yeah.
Now, none of these are on the same level of Bond.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I don't think there is any modern.
So I can understand why the studios were panicked, but somehow here we are.
Yeah.
You know.
And so basically, Roger Moore was also a contender for the George Lazenby movie. He was on the list. He was on a TV show called The Saint. He couldn't get out of that contract. Much like how they wanted Pierce Brosnan for Living Daylights.
But he was in Remington Steele.
Yeah. And much like how they wanted Tom Selleck for Indiana Jones, he was under contract for Magnum P.I. So, and the studios, TV studios often find that when their actors become in demand for movies, their ratings go up, which makes them lock down their actors that much more. So, yeah. We're going to talk about The Spy Who Loved Me, which is considered Roger Moore's best film. there was a need. There was a definite pressure on the franchise to do better than what the previous box office gross had gone down. People kind of felt there was an early feeling that the character was kind of going out of style. He was a relic of the 60s at this point. And so they wanted to reorient the franchise, rejuvenate it.
Well, do you think there was also, I mean, obviously Bond runs parallel to everything going on with the Cold War.
Yeah.
You know, the Cold War is very much like a undertone of everything Bond does. Like the 70s were, by the time we got to mid late 70s, it was like fucking sick of it. There was counterculture. Everything is just like really, I mean, obviously the Cold War was not over by any means, but it had kind of turned a corner.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that culturally is like, why are we still doing spy movies? Why is Bond still a thing? Like, he's not relevant anymore.
Franchise fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that we know anything about that these days.
So producer Albert Broccoli wanted to basically pull out all the stops. And I mean, you could tell they kind of spared no expense. This has one of the biggest budgets for any Bond movie. They went all out for the theme song. They got Carly Simon to do it. It's one of the biggest hits.
It's a banger.
Mm-hmm.
It's good shit.
Mm-hmm. They got Marvin Hamlisch to do the score. He had just won an Oscar for The Sting.
Didn't he also do the From Russia with Love?
Marvin Hamlisch? No, those were...
Which ones did he start with in the Bond? Because he did several, right?
This was his only one that he did.
Really?
You're thinking of John Barry.
Ah, shit. Who did that's right.
Did all the... But basically, it's like they went all out. They had a bunch of people do uncredited work on the script, including one of the writers for Superman. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Mankiewicz. Tom Mankiewicz did a version of this script.
Huh.
They had a bunch of big writers kind of pass through and take a stab at it. And they kind of combined all those into one kind of ungainly script. And the film follows, it's a loose remake of You Only Live Twice. It follows the template of that movie.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
It has the same director, did both films.
The focus on torpedoes was really obvious.
Mm-hmm. But
men love torpedoes.
They do. And that's a sexual metaphor, clearly.
Ooh.
Phallus.
Ooh.
But
depth charge on that. Down below.
Mm-hmm. Stromberg is played by Kurt Jurgens, who's a legendary German actor. It's basically a Blofeld stand-in. I mean, you could have just dressed him up as Blofeld and called it good.
I just remember he gets shot in the dick like 3 times. When I was watching, I was like, dude got shot in the dick.
Also a sexual metaphor. But yeah, as always, want to pit the Russians and Americans against each other and build to a nuclear war. This time the guy wants to live under the sea, Little Mermaid style.
Oh, yeah.
And a utopia. Bond gets sent to investigate. The Russians send Agent XXX, who is also a future Mrs. Ringo Starr in real life. And the two Russians and Americans actually become frenemies and go after Stromberg together. Also, I mean, it's like you see some of the most, to that point, some of the biggest stunts in the series that the series had never attempted before. You know, mountain ski jump, Lotus Esprit chase. That car turns into a submarine.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is an iconic like gadget.
Oh, I remember being a kid seeing that. Like, wow,
yeah,
so cool.
Your car's a boat. I had like an 8-year-old boner.
Yeah,
just wouldn't quit.
That's a band name.
Well, I don't want to get into it, but when that boat comes out of the water. Why is every human around there wearing a Speedo? I didn't know if I should be turned on or not. I'm like, no, look
Taylor,
at that.
They
like,
were in Italy.
Yeah, I was like, look at that. I was like, oh, hey, like. It's like, look at those girls' butt cheeks. Wait.
It's Italy. It's Italy in the 70s. They're wearing Speedos to business meetings.
Yeah, there was just everyone's butt cheeks were hanging out, and I didn't know who to be turned on by. I was just like, good God.
I still don't.
But when he did just pull the fish out and drop it out.
That's a metaphor.
Classic Bond.
Great.
That's
great
a meme right there.
Classic Bond.
a bit fishy.
But yeah, we see one of the franchise favorites was Jaws, played by Richard Kyle.
Maggie, rest in peace.
Yes.
All-time Bond villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's up there with Odd Job.
Yeah, he's been in three. I think Jaws was... This was his first, and then...
This is two.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
I think this is number two.
What... Moonraker.
This
Moonraker. I thought he was in one other one. No?
I think he was only in two.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he is 7'3", I believe.
Yeah.
Massive.
Very tall. And would you say he's the number one Bond villain?
He for henchman, yes.
He's the best known next to Oddjob, I would say.
Yeah. I'd put Jaws over Oddjob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jaws is best known and then Oddjob.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think if you showed a stocky Asian gentleman in a suit throwing a hat, it would be pretty like, yeah, that's Oddjob.
Yeah. You know,
or something like that. But same thing with this guy. I mean, it's just like there's just iconic villains. Overall villains, I mean, Goldfinger's up there. Blofeld obviously is up there.
Well, there's, with the Unbreakable rules of the movie, there's the villain that fights the hero with his mind and then the one that fights him with his fists. And you get both those with Bond villains.
Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously the henchmen are the ones that get more screen time, especially the ones that are recurring Bond villains.
Because usually the main Bond villain is a puppet master pulling the
screen right, behind. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the ones driving the plot, but, you know, they got their guys
making decisions behind a desk in a shady room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Trav, what do you think of this?
I love Jaws, and all of my favorite Bond films had Jaws back in the day. That was my criteria. So, Roger Moore was my first Bond back in the day. This was my favorite Bond film, and also The Man with the Golden Gun. But I also loved Moonraker. I knew it was bad. I could tell it was bad, but
I loved Moonraker.
But it had Jaws, and I was like, oh, he's fighting Jaws again. Fuck yes, I know I love this one.
Yeah.
And then Jaws turned good at the end with like some pigtailed chick, and I'm like, what? I don't get it. Well,
I think is that a Frankenstein reference? Is that
I don't know. Like they're like, oh, okay, you know, that's the mistake that Marvel Comics makes a lot is that a villain gets too popular and people like them. And they're like, you know what, we should make them good, and they do the same thing. Villain. They're like, no, fuck that.
We love to hate them. We don't love to love them.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, they were like, you know what? All the kids, they really like that Jaws guy. You know what? He ripped out a couple people's throats in the last movie. Let's give him a pigtailed blonde girlfriend in this one. It'll be fine.
That'll gentle.
Yeah. They get to play with lasers. They'll get to have, like, you know, kiss upside down like Spider-Man and zero gravity in space. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's fine.
It's rare that Jaws gets to see someone at his face level, so the only time he can do it is in space.
Yeah, exactly.
I never thought about that.
I love this film because also I love this Bond girl. I love this Ringo's girlfriend or wife.
Wife.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was a big fan because, Jaws just had a little, you know, he was almost of the real world, but he was also just ripping apart this fucking car. Mm-hmm. And they were treating it like a joke entire time.
Yeah.
They're like,
superhuman.
This guy just ripped out some dude's throat. And you're like, can you put it in reverse? Fucking woman driver. Like, all right.
Okay. So
if he stops us, he's ripping out our throats, right?
Quick note, because it bugged me so much. I was reading up on that scene. Apparently, that was an improv line, which means that he just genuinely believes this. None of those lines were like scripted, because she apparently didn't actually know how to drive a stick, and so she was genuinely scrambling with like the stick shift. And he's just like, "Women drivers." It's like, you improv'd that?
Yeah,
you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, if I don't think that same thing, I will find the worst thing to say in a given time as well. And I'm looking at Taylor Owens right here. He would do the same thing.
It was the time.
Those were the days.
He would make that
racism
joke.
Was accessible. Sexism was acceptable.
This was like Mad Men time.
Well, yeah. This is the peak, like, misogyny Bond of like,
oh yeah,
obviously Sean Connery has his own problematic past with being like, oh,
keeping the British end up, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, Sean Connery was problematic on his own, right? Yes. But mm-hmm.
He pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the villain in this, Stromberg, like, he's got this weird little, like, you know, this reminds me so much of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea with Captain Nemo and the Nautilus, but this guy has a stationary little thing that pops out. Like, you guys might not have watched the Super Friends with Batman and Superman cartoons back in the day, but Lex Luthor used to have a base in like some fucking swamp. It
came up out of a swamp.
Yeah, the Minions of Doom, and it would just like peek its head up out of a swamp. It looked exactly like this fucking Atlantis thing. And I'm like, geez, which one came first? I think this came first in James Bond, but I think they used it for that cartoon in the 80s or the late 70s. What year was this? 77.
I thought the Batman was
Minions of Doom.
Late 60s.
Yeah, but the cartoon that used that, I don't know. I feel like
continue.
Watching it, I'm like, they stole this from the Minions of Doom. I'm like, wait a minute. I think this may have come out before. Oh,
The Hall of Doom is what.
Oh, Hall of Doom. What year?
First appearance, September 9th, 1978.
78 was so the Hall of Doom
came out a year after this movie.
Yeah. All right. That's kind of what I thought. But yeah. Oh, also one other thing about James Bond films and how fucking long they are when you have commercials. I discovered during a James Bond film, it might not even have been this one, but underwater scenes, I realized I would hold my breath during when I was watching, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. But I would sit there and be like, oh God, I can't, oh. And I don't know if I was trying to see if I could hold my breath as long as the characters on screen,
yeah,
or if I was doing it involuntarily just because I thought I was also underwater.
I don't remember.
I was a dumb fucking kid.
Which Pierce Brosnan movie it is where he gets out of a submarine hatch and swims to another submarine hatch.
Ugh, world's not enough.
Yeah. Is that the one with Denise Richards?
Because I 100% remember being a kid and like, I'm going to hold my breath and see if I can hold my breath as long as James Bond can. It's like 3 fucking minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
No can do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you were going to get to bang Denise Richards at the end of the 3 minutes, you couldn't.
No.
About 40 seconds same. Tops.
Yeah.
What's your score?
What? Oh, holding my breath or intercourse? Because the answer is the same for both.
It's a 3 on both.
40 seconds. 40 seconds.
No, what's your Spy Who Loved Me score?
Oh, all right. Just out the gate, I do enjoy it more than From Russia with Love. I'm going
to
say an 8.
Go
for me,
hell.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it. This was my favorite Roger. Like I said, I was not a Sean Connery. I started Roger Moore.
Yeah, fair.
So I gave it an 8. But for Bond films, for me, this is a strong 9. I hate to say it like that, but for me, growing up and the rewatch, it like Roger Moore was my Bond. This and Man with the Golden Gun. Actually, and even Live and Let Die, because I was like, this is hilarious. All, like, the huge chase at the end. Those were my 3 favorite Bond films before I started watching, like, Sean Connery. Like, I get it. I understand. I was indoctrinated the wrong way. For me, this is a 9 as a Bond film.
No, I mean, Bin Laden said the same thing. It was like, no. It was like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. No, he said the same thing. It was like, yeah. No, this is actually, I will agree. To me, this is Roger Moore's best film. And that's just me. I think this is his best film. In a Bond film, this is, again, I haven't seen Roger Moore films in a hot fucking minute. But this was one of the ones where I felt like, oh, it gave me reminiscences of the Brosnan and the Craig films, where you have that intro where it's like, well, here's the intro of some crazy shit going on, i.e. skiing backwards. P.S. That motherfucker can't ski. And it was like, there ain't no way. But and then you go into the song. So I was like,
yeah,
that to me was like, oh shit. Like, cause I haven't seen, honestly, I'm dead. I have not seen a Roger Moore film in a hot minute. And I was like, oh, who started that trend? Like, who started the trend of like, hey, we do a scene and then we go like, was that Connery?
I mean, Goldfinger kind of.
Goldfinger. Started. That's what I thought. Yeah. It was like, we had the scene and I wanted to make sure. I was like, man, I anyway, but it was.
Did it feel a little bit like Steve Buscemi being like, hey, what's up, fellow teens? Like,
yeah.
Him hopping out and like, hey, I'm really good at skiing.
Yeah.
Like,
which Bond also is doing like 1060 kickflips with Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Like, we're, yeah. Which one well, did we miss? Just,
the next James Bond is definitely going to be doing a kickflip.
Yeah. Well, and I did love the end where he fall off the cliff and the British flag. Oh, like, yeah. I mean, it had to have been.
That was the moment that I was like, oh, that's what they were parodying yeah. with Austin Powers.
Well, that and also Triple X. State of the Union.
I have still never watched that since.
Well, it's like, yeah, we saw it in theaters, and it was just some American flag, and I was like, of course,
yeah.
And
he grinds down a railing on a cafeteria tray.
I just remember Taylor and I watching it, and at some point,
in theaters,
and I just started laughing. I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
I can't. Yeah, just,
that's a movie we need to do.
Yeah, sorry, continue, yeah. Anyway, Taylor.
Everything else, god dang, I try not to bash a movie, maybe because I just don't like Roger Moore, but like, this was a very sexist movie, and I know, mm-hmm. I made a joke about it, but it's like, it was the times, but like, it's a movie that doesn't necessarily hold up,
yeah.
And I was like, god bless, I did love Jaws, that was a very, very, very cool character, but also, this was also one of the first Bond films, watching it again, thinking that, like, this is one of those films that just stop. You jumped around too much. Like, we went from Jaws, then we went to Underwater, then we went to the submarine, then like, oh.
They were in Egypt.
Yeah, it was like, and then he's riding across, you know, he's floating across the camera system. Then the camera system blows up. Then he comes back like, oh, we're done. Nope, JK, we're not done. You got to go back to the guy, shoot him in the dick, shoot him two or three more times. Then you got Jaws fighting you. I'm like, end this fucking film. So if there was one time where I was like, Travis, you're right, fast forward this, it was this film.
1.5.
I mean, oh my God. I was like,
same.
I was like, end this fucking film.
Did you watch this in 1.5?
Yes, okay. I did.
Okay. It had to have been done. It was like, because even I was just like, this is getting too much.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is getting just a little too much. But I will say, and again, it all goes back to Austin Powers, but that whole where he shot him in the dick twice, I believe it was two shots, and even the two other shots that he gave him, I mean, it's 1977, but can we get some better graphics here? And it was like, I don't even think they follow the bullet.
Yeah, where the fuck is that squib? Yeah,
I don't think they fall.
I ain't gonna let no squib near that part.
Oh, yeah, like, I don't think they follow the bullet, and I don't think he was even on his chest. It was like you hear the bang, and the camera gives a quick shot. I'm like, well, where's the blood?
Yeah.
Then he shoots again. I'm like, wait, what is happening?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And then he fights him, and I was like, that is the one film where I was like, maybe I was just going into it with too much hate, but I was like, end this fucking film right now. Yeah. And then they get in there, and then he's trying to bang the girl at the end, shocking. And he's about to be shot, but he's got that magic winky. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, it's like, wow.
Magic.
He's like, he's like, maybe I misread this guy. Anybody who drinks a 52 Dom Perignon. And I'm like, 52? I was like, sure, that is a 25-year-old bottle of champagne. And, yeah. Like, and he just happens to put that in his pod. Mm-hmm. And oh, I was
yeah,
like,
yeah. There are so many Jaws references, pod, though. I have a
52 Dom Perignon.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening?
There's the Jaws the character reference. There's Jaws a shark reference.
Yep. Yeah.
There's another Jaws, like, there's so many Jaws references.
It's so on the nose.
In this
Jaws,
you're like,
fights
77.
Shark.
Yeah. It, so weird. Yeah.
This is probably actually my favorite Roger Moore film, but I think every time, because I'll be honest, when I was a kid, we didn't talk about Roger. It was like we only watched, like, yeah, we just watched, you know, Connery.
We were a Connery but household.
I do remember watching his, and honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Moonraker, because I think it's in that like twice, or maybe one time all the way through, and then one and a half.
Yeah.
As a film, I don't know, man, it makes me sad, but I'd give it as a film, maybe like a 6, 6.5. But even as a Bond film, God, and again, I don't want to seem like I don't think I'm judging, but I really did like three of the Pierce films. And I actually did like, besides the oil one, I did like all of Daniel Craig's films. But goddamn, even as a Bond film, and I'm going to be generous here, because I do love Bond and John. I'm going to give it a 7, but that's a fucking generous 7. And it was like, it was
well, that's what's great about Bond, though, 7. Is that everybody's got their own idea of Bond. Yeah. Like, You know, I just happened to come in thinking Roger Moore was the Messiah.
Yeah.
And then working my way backwards and being like, oh, there's other versions.
And it was like, it's like, oh, dude, you know, the whole scene was like, did you kill him? And he turns away, and it's this whole scene, because I thought he actually was not a bad actor in this film, but there was that one scene where he was like, well, when you're skiing backwards, going 40 miles an hour, like, you really don't look at people when you, but yes, I killed him. And I was like, well, that was shitty.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Wait, what? Yeah. I was like, that was terrible. I was like, but, yeah, it...
That's just the writing.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah.
And the writing in this movie is like,
I think it was still his best film. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was his best film.
I forgot, like, she's only in there for a little bit, but Naomi, the female hench woman that is giving him a tour and then attacks him later with a helicopter, she was in one of the Sinbad movies, one of the Ray Harryhausen ones, and she was actually like really good friends with Ray Harryhausen and his family, like years later.
Wait, first kid?
Wait, what?
No, she was in one of the Sinbad films where they had the claymation like thing. But she's like a Hollywood scream queen. I can't remember her name.
Taylor's very confused, and I love his
man. Favorites. Wait, what? Am I? A Sinbad claymation?
Okay. All right. You know,
I'm also lost.
The gal that gets killed from the torpedo submarine car.
Yeah.
Boobies.
Yeah. I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but she is like a Hollywood scream queen royalty. Oh,
okay.
Because so she's like, been.
But she was.
Tell me about Sinbad.
Yeah. But wait. So Sinbad had a claymation series?
Sinbad, the musical artist.
No. Something I know exactly what Travis is talking about.
The Sinbad.
What's out here? Because I'm like legitimately confused.
There was a live action Sinbad movie where
actor.
Where not the actor. Like
okay,
pirates yes. and fighting animated creatures movie. And it's minotaurs.
Not, thank you.
Not shit.
Now
it's
we're
an animated.
Now,
yeah.
Now we're
it's
on
not
a
animated
level. I was thinking Sinbad, the yeah. comedian actor.
I knew what he was trying to say. I knew what you guys were thinking.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I am fully aware of Sinbad's portfolio, and I have never
thinking,
seen
Jingle All the Way.
And I have never seen a live
like the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, or Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, or Sinbad.
No, honestly, Always Sunny, where Sinbad's in.
Yes. Okay, and honestly, I think I know what you're talking about now. Like
where they do like, but it's not a cartoon. It's live action, but it's like the old King Kong movie where they're like, oh, and this King Kong comes out.
It was it was called Sinbad, Seven Oceans of the
Seven.
You're thinking of Brad Pitt doing a voice of a cartoon character.
This is
a live action. So this is also from the 70s. But she was like a scream queen from the 70s. But she was in one of those Sinbad.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm fully aware of the works of Sinbad, but that I thought I was like, what am I missing?
I am well versed in Sinbad's.
Like, oh my god!
I could see this unfolding in real time.
I do apologize for that. It was like,
he was not in Kazam. That was Shaquille O'Neal. He was in Necessary Roughness.
Okay,
but yeah, I could see where what your point was, and I could see like your total confusion.
I was like, no, Sinbad was not.
Only supposed to be a small point. I didn't. Really
I had zoned out, and I was just sort of nodding along, and then you brought it up, and I was like, wait a minute,
what
does Sinbad have to do with this?
I have to know what's going on here. Okay, so it was Sinbad, a series.
What the hell were we talking about in the first place with that?
Yeah,
I was just saying that she was a hench woman that got killed, but she was also well known because of this other, you know,
she had the line where she's just like, it's the second largest boat.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And so then the other girl's just like,
James Bond.
So the extra sent us down this. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I'm much more relieved that Sinbad did not have a claymation, which I don't know why I thought of claymation the whole time.
I thought claymation.
I know.
Too.
I was like,
did you say claymation?
I said claymation. It technically is claymation, but they call it like dynamation or whatever. It's like wherever
Wallet
you see
with Wallace and Gromit. With Sinbad?
Chicken Run.
Yeah.
Basically.
And now, all I can tell you is I need to see a claymation
with Sinbad.
Yeah.
Guys, we will watch them. There are three. They're all excellent.
No, he wants the actor. He doesn't want the...
No! I need the actor Sinbad doing a claymation. I don't care what he does. He can be shopping around damn Target. As long as it's claymation, I'll watch it. I don't give a shit.
Oh.
Okay, so James Bond.
So, Sean, so you're seven.
Yeah.
Wait. Six and a half, seven.
Six, seven on the Bond scale.
Seven, God damn it. Seven on the Bond scale only because I liked this Bond that he did.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, like, this was his best Bond by far.
Don't beat yourself up because I have the exact same score. Yeah. It's a six movie with like a seven on the Bond.
Yeah.
This one is, and granted, there might be a slow evolution toward this from the last movie we potted over and this one, but this one is such a different movie where it's like there's so much one-liners. Oh, there's like a lot of one-lining. There's a lot of like just like cheesiness.
To Roger Moore.
Even the opening scene where he's skiing, it's so cheesy with just him just like looking back and he's just like, oh, they're after me. Mm-hmm. Like he's dressed like Ronald McDonald. He's wearing like a yellow and red.
Which, by the way, I did think when I watched that, like, what a great Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Well, great Halloween costume that probably no one would pick up on unless they actually knew Bond.
Yeah.
But like, what a great costume. What an
obscure reference. You would have to have the big pack on.
Yeah, the big red pack.
Obviously a parachute.
Yeah.
And just like he leaves like the winter hut and she, you know, he's on the move, you know?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you see the Russian agent who's also like with her boy, who is hairier than James Bond is, by the way.
Saying something.
Yeah, he was a hairy man.
He'd make a good Bond.
The Russian agent that died, that was her boyfriend.
Ski Patrol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But God, that opening scene, I was just like, oh boy, here we go. Okay. This is the next phase of Bond.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was like a slow evolution of the Bond, like storytelling, and like it got cheesier and it got a little campier, but this movie was full camp.
It's still not the worst Roger Moore ski portion of the film. When they're like some underage girl that was trying to bang him and
Before Your Eyes Only.
There it is.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Oh, and that's not even the worst ski thing. View to a Kill, whenever he's like doing his snowboarding and they're playing the Beach Boys in the background.
Oh, I forgot about that. I just thought about the underage girl that was trying to bang Bond.
Yeah.
They always are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, this movie's just, it's a big tone difference from the last movie.
Huge.
And I think maybe it's a sign of the times. Maybe it's just like the direction they decided to take the Bond character. You definitely got like the more gadgety type Bond. You got like the Q's giving you like, oh, I've got a delivery from Q, and it's just like a jet ski.
Yeah,
which is like one of the first appearances of a jet ski.
Right. I it's hard for me to tell like what technology existed whenever they were doing this stuff. Where I was like, is that just a jet ski? What am I supposed to be?
I did love like it's like that one thing they were like zooming in on that. And like, is he wearing loafers? Like, he's wearing his loafers while he's on. He's just like, here we go. He's got like
high black socks on a jet ski.
It's like classic zoom in.
Yeah,
it's like he's Bond. He's so classy.
I did like the time he got to spend a lot of time in like a naval uniform. Because he is a naval
from the Royal Navy.
Yeah. He's the British Royal Navy commander.
Commander Bond, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's Commander Bond, yeah. And so he got a lot of time on a submarine in this. And the misogyny in this is heavy. Like this one is like heavier than the last one, which is saying something because Sean Connery is a heavy like womanizer. Like he's very much like I'll put a woman in her place.
Yes.
You know? But like I said, like that scene being improvised just put like a bad taste in my mouth where I was just like, oh,
kind of ugly.
That didn't age well.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you see, like, that's one of those kind of inside baseball things where you see like how people are on the set toward each other in like those moments where, you know, you don't realize it's going to be in the movie. You know, it's like they capture him, how he talked to her probably.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah. You know?
And joking, but in a very cringy way.
Yeah, joking in like a 1970s like trope kind of way, you know.
Yeah.
Can I also say that I I don't prefer Roger Moore's kissing style at all. Like, it looks weird. Anytime he's like, we're going to kiss on camera. It's like, is that where he puts his mouth or how he puts it? Like, is he trying to drink her like a Capri Sun? What's happening here?
Well, the movie always like, cause you think that there's like a woman protagonist that kind of like should be his equal, like an agent triple X of like the KGB should be the equivalent of 007 from the MI6. Right. But they really play down like, oh, she's a woman. She's weaker. Like, you know, she can't do quite as much as 007 can. And, you know, they like, she becomes like a captive and, you know, yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of like, just the story is very dated.
Yeah.
Doesn't age well. And I think that's kind of the bad side. That's the downside of Bond. That's the side of Bond that's like kind of ugly and doesn't sit right. I mean, obviously there's like a lot of misogyny with like all of the Bond movies. And I think as they've gotten further along, like as you get into your Pierce Brosnans and you get into like your Daniel Craigs, they get better about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and give the female protagonist like a little bit more agency. But like this one's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if you can get a woman dressed up and then bound and then also wet.
Huh?
Beg pardon?
Sinbad.
Are we still talking about this movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember what I'm talking about.
It's kind of a weird daydream there.
Yeah. State.
I'm talking about Ringo's wife, and they put her in an outfit, and then they like tie her up her wet.
It very much felt like they were doing like
I don't have an end to that sentence.
I think Travis's pills just kicked in.
Yeah.
No, that's where that sentence has to end. I'm like,
that's 25 milligrams right there. Man, maybe 50.
No, I mean, this movie was fine. It was fine. Like I said, I was a Sean Connery purist as a kid. So like my grown up, like Sean Connery was the Bond in my household. Anything past that, like Roger Moore was probably a number two only because Pierce Brosnan hadn't come up yet.
Yeah.
Movies.
So what was your score?
6 regular movie, 7 Bond movie.
So about 6.5 overall.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is definitely the peak. I'm not a fan of Roger Moore either. And started off with Connery. Those are my first ones that I went, you know, deep fandom for. But then after that, Pierce Brosnan, I kind of went straight to Goldeneye when that came out. So basically, it's like Roger Ebert had a point back in the day of like you judge a Bond movie on how well it does the tropes. The tropes are there. The formula's there. You judge it on how well it does that, how well it executes. And it's like this movie does really well. Has it a great mega villain? You know, Kurt Jurgens is Stromberg. He could be Blofeld pretty easily. Great henchman. Pretty good stunts. Pretty good action scenes. Great theme song. You know, it's one of the catchiest of the whole movies. This is Moore turns in his best performance as Bond. This is Moore's best work, I think.
Oh yeah. Bond. Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. This is his best Bond.
So judging by the, I mean, and to me the sexism and the misogyny. When you watch these older movies, that unfortunately, I mean, I know it's no excuse.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
And that's only partially an excuse for it. You know, at the same time, it's like they should all come with a kind of that disclaimer that I would throw in there of like, if you are sensitive to that kind of thing, the Bond movies, these Bond movies are not going to be for you. You're not going to enjoy them. If this kind of stuff is going to like offend you, but this kind of casual misogyny of this time period, that sort of Don Draper Mad Men style of, you know, sexism and put downs of women, they're in there.
The difference between the Mad Men Don Draper style is like Mad Men was a show that was self-aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like genuine, like this is
product
this,
of
this
it.
Is the genuine article.
Yeah,
like this is them like actually being sexist on film.
But the thing I like about it, maybe not like, is that it is a time capsule.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, definitely,
exactly. It's an artifact.
Yeah,
of that time period.
It's something to be
observed.
Those
were the days.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you look at like I'm fascinated to look at old newspapers and magazines. I like the advertisements. I like what was on TV that day. I like the weird stuff.
I like old comic books because you can see what's being all the ads for the movies and books at the time, and you're like, oh, weird. It puts you in the headspace of the time as you're reading it.
And you read like an advertisement for like, you know, an outfit or makeup or whatever. It's like, you know, dress this way, ladies. Your husband will love it when he gets home. You know, it's like that kind of casual.
My husband loves the taste of the Crest
Rich toothpaste. Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
cigarette flavored toothpaste. Oh my God.
Shit, when you're at the grocery store, buy your husband Crest.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, my husband loves it when I have dinner ready for him when he gets home. You know?
Right.
But that's sort of like, it's of that time. It's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's like, you know, for what it was then, that wasn't offensive as it would be now. And so you kind of have to look at it like you're going into a time capsule and looking at a different era.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the way that they were writing the character of Agent Triple X was like, she's a strong, capable agent, but not as strong and capable as our man 007.
Mm-hmm. This is how men of that time period wrote a female character.
Yeah, it's like that's their version of a strong female character. Mm-hmm. Was like even a strong female character is no match for the magic dick of James Bond. Yeah.
Well, she got one over on him. Like she defeated him, and then Barely? He was like, "Well, no, you really didn't, because that's a fake microfilm."
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, they couldn't
quite get her. But then she knew that it was laboratory,
mm-hmm.
not oratory.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a movie, like you say, it's like not politically correct. It definitely suffers from that now. It ages. It's like looking at an old newspaper that's kind of yellowed and frayed. It doesn't look as good as it used to. Seven as a movie. I would say probably an 8-ish as a Bond movie.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I can't get my nostalgia out of it.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, it's somewhere in the 7 to 8 range. It's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot. I've definitely gone back and watched it over and over. When I picked out a Roger Moore movie for me and my wife to watch, this is the one I picked. So,
I probably would have picked Moonraker, not because it's the better movie, but because that's the movie I watched a lot more as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I love Moonraker. So
that would have had a bigger nostalgia bump, but probably it's a worse movie for sure.
Oh, big time. It's way
not funnier. A good movie. Yeah.
10-year-old me loved Moonraker, though.
Yeah, well, which was entirely the point.
Yeah. Moonraker. Live and Let Die for me had like a very Blues Brothers like car chase and crashes.
Redneck
like,
sheriff. Like,
oh, God, yes. Yeah.
And I'm a Beatles fanatic. I love the theme song.
Yep.
Oh, that is honestly, yeah. That's the number one theme song in my mind.
Yeah. Live and Let
it's like
Die.
Like that and then Adele.
Mm-hmm. And that's another great one. I love Skyfall as much as Casino Royale. Mm. That could be just me.
And
I
Man with the Golden Gun with a tattoo from Fantasy Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the female agent, good night. Like, I just love the good night, good night.
And that was Mrs. Rod Stewart at that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, at very, the time.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd say I'm around 7, 8.
Yeah.
Mm. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
God, has it? I miss Sinbad.
God.
Only 10 minutes of this was dedicated to
Sinbad.
Sinbad, come on to the podcast.
Yeah. Jingle all the way.
Let's talk about your claymation.
I think I found
backstory.
But Todd Wofford, got Sean Jordan.
Hey.
Hey.
Taylor Owens.
That's Sinbad?
TJB.
Travis, or Todd, put that on the
He
on,
looks
on
good. Instagram.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah. But
looking good.
Great movies only drunker. Drunk movies only greater. Not with whimpers, but bangs.
We're going to see Sinbad cinematic movies in February.
Exactly. So, we'll do a month of Sinbad.
Month of Sinbad.
Sinbad and the Argonauts. we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
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 Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.